choose our family.
And all the gays everywhere.
You were the first girl I ever loved.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
And actually, you were the last girl I ever loved.
Okay,
we welcome back.
Got your guests.
You're with Erin and Neil still, but we are with new people. We are with Saffron and Cherry. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, am I speaking? Okay. Yeah. Hi, I'm Butch. I run the cabaret side of Saffron and Cherry, and it's nice to be here.
Yeah, nice to
meet you. Hi, I'm Temi. I run the community events side of Saffron Cherry. I use any pronouns as well.
Oh, yes, I use he, him, and drag, and they, them out of drag, but I also accept he.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, start with a fun question. What were your queer awakenings?
Okay, so... Princess Bubblegum.
Yes.
And Marceline.
just like the relationship or like them as individuals?
I think, okay, Marceline as an individual.
Uh-huh.
But once they like got together, I was like...
Because of the guitar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Say no more.
Because of the Mitski?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, and the person that voices Marceline, they also voice Vanessa in Phineas and Ferb. I don't know if you guys who was my other gay
awakenings.
And they're also like a noted bisexual.
There we go.
I think.
Triple gay.
I'm pretty sure.
Wow. It all comes back round.
Yeah.
And yours?
Well, it depends on which queer awakening. Like I've been very gender nonconforming since like basically I was sentient. So like I wanted to be a boy when I was four, then I was like, oh, I'm not allowed to be a boy, so I just want to look like a boy. And then it was kind of like, yeah, eventually, kind of, it was like, no, you can't do that. So then I was just kind of gender nonconforming till early high school. Then I was made to be gender conforming-ish, very poorly. And then I think when I was like 16 or something, I was like, well, why do we as Christians think that gay people are bad and wrong? Maybe they aren't. I sorted that out, and then after I like sorted that little bit off, I decompartmentalized all the gay feelings, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh no, yeah. And I was like, okay, so I'm a gay girl, and then like you know, several years later, like in uni, I was like, oh, I don't identify as a womanhood at all. Really other than being gay for women. so yes, many stages, but yeah. Yes.
I had the really defensive ally in RE class. Hi. Like there's nothing wrong with gay people, guys. Nothing, I swear, I love them.
Yeah.
And then they're like, huh?
I'm
like,
love them.
They're like, why are you getting so stressed? No one said anything. Like, I'd be like defending, like, I don't know who I was fighting against. The world, I think. And then when I did come out, like a couple months later, because that got me thinking, my friends were like, yeah, we kind of knew because of the you know the whole incident where you got really heated about nothing in particular. But yeah, it's a gateway. It's being an ally. Yeah.
I feel like that's such a relatable experience, uh-huh. and also the fact that your friends knew.
Yeah. Do you know what though? There's nothing actually more satisfying than people being shocked when you come out. Like it's like obviously they're not that shocked, but like my friends, the first person I came out to. I was like walking home from school and I was like, oh, by the way, I think it was more like the situation than it was the fact that I was queer, but I was like, yes, a reaction. Because everyone else was like, uh-huh. And I was like, guys, I don't think you're getting how monumental this is. Because it's sort of like, especially when you were like, I was like 13.
Oh my God, yeah, that's so young.
Yeah, well,
yeah. I don't know, I think that's
You know, I'm kind of a child prodigy of being gay.
Did it before the rest of us.
Yeah, kind of, was the domino.
It was really funny. My sister like was the first one I told, and she was like shock, awe, like crying. And then like when I told my dad maybe like a year later, he was like, well, it was obvious he never like showed any interest in any boys. And I was like, okay, well.
It's like, what reaction do you want? Because I feel like it's the whole time, like when you're building up to it, like it's such like a moment for you. But then like, yeah, it's always just really anticlimactic, like no matter what happens.
I think my ideal reaction involves like party poppers. Like, I want like a trumpet going off somewhere. I want like a chorus of birds to start singing.
Just like a musical number. Everyone just starts dancing.
Yeah. Well, and that in itself has a certain queerness to it.
Definitely.
I feel like that'd be quite alarming though. Like,
like how long have you been waiting?
I've actually got a phobia of birds, so I wouldn't even like the chorus of birds, but I would like the sound. Yeah, I just wouldn't look.
It's already such a stressful situation, and now there's loud noises as well. Like, unexpected noises.
So you drown out the hate. Like, not getting from my friends, you know. So what brings you guys queer joy? I know that's a bit of a bigger question, but honestly, my answer is a gay couple with a dog. So, up to you.
I'm in a lot of things.
You go, because I can't think.
Well, I mean, not to be cringe, but being with my girlfriend. But, you know, like, also, like, I don't know, seeing other, like, visibly queer people in public, especially, like, butches / like gendered like non-conforming people is really really nice, because I'm like, yes, like you're like me. And just being like in a space with like loads of, you know, queer people that are just having a good time and living and like being happy and openly queer and doing gay shit, like, yeah, it's pretty very nice.
That's what we want to do in Saffron.
Exactly.
Well, that's what we were speaking to Kamal about earlier, about like how great it is that he like creates spaces where you can just, so a big part of queer space is just being able to relax like be free and like not constantly be on your guard, but also like have this unspoken agreement with everyone there that you're all queer. Like, and that's as that might be the only thing you have in common, but you do have it, you know, and that's like a really like really just like comforting feeling.
Yeah, it's nice having that, like being like where that's like the baseline.
Yeah.
You know, that's like so where true. You just don't have to like explain anything.
Yeah.
And I remember like when I moved back to Prague for a year to work, and I was just like working in the startup, and I was like the only queer person there, the only non-white person there. Mm-hmm. And it was so exhausting. Like, I'd come back to visit Edinburgh, I was like,
the sigh of relief is so real. So what brings you queer joy?
I'm gonna piggyback off yours a little bit. Obviously being surrounded by lots of queer people of colour. But I think like on a personal level, I feel like shaving my head, that brings me queer joy. Like every time I do it, I'm like, oh my god, yes. I would say those two things.
That's
Have you ever been to like at the barber where have you ever had like them use the barber razor on
you? Oh my god, I love it.
That's so good. Like a lot of places won't do it because they're like, oh, it'll irritate your skin or whatever, or it's like, you know, less good than using the foil, but it's like so good. Also, even just getting your hair buzzed.
Like the sound, I don't know what it is. Like, it might be overstimulating to some people, but I'm like, no, this is my shit. Sometimes I like fall asleep on the barber's chair because I'm just so relaxed.
I one time like shaved my friend's hair and I got so happy for her that I like was like, yay! And she was like, go on the fucking clippers. I'm like, sorry. But my bad. That's on me. Do you want to ask about the fruit?
Yeah.
A gift from me to you.
If you guys were a fruit, what fruit would you be?
Mango. Mango.
Tell me you.
Without hesitation, mango is my favourite fruit. It's an ethnic fruit. Yes. It's so much better in Nigeria. I miss Nigerian mango so much. I feel like I had a mango the other day, and the back of my throat was a bit itchy. And then for the past few times I've been having mangoes, the back of my throat has been kind of itchy. Oh, so it means that I may start to be allergic to mangoes.
Oh my god.
I know.
No.
That is a nightmare.
No.
Devastating.
It's
I know.
It's just a bad batch.
Or you can just like slam a bunch of antihistamines.
There we go. Yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really problematic in that I don't really like mango, but maybe it's just because I haven't had Nigerian mangoes.
What? Yeah, there you go. I think that's
it. I don't know. Like, I mean, I grew up in Hong Kong. And like Singapore and stuff, so I've had those mangoes, but I don't know.
I think Nigerian and Pakistani mangoes are
the best
kinds. Yeah,
that's fair enough.
Well, oh my god.
Well, I'll make a judgment on my feelings on.
Have you ever had like a mango lassi? Like an Indian.
I haven't because
really?
I'm
it goes
vegan
crazy.
And they usually have like milk in them. I know. I really want
to
try it.
We'll make a vegan one.
Yeah.
I'm going to run to the shops right now. It's so good. I used to have it growing up. It's like, it's not even milk, it's just like a lot of yogurt and ice.
Yeah.
And then mango pulp. And it's.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
So good.
Wow.
Sorry. What fruit would you make?
Well, I realized. That I don't know if it's like fruit that I like or fruit that I would be. I think it's a bit harder to think about what fruit would represent me. I do really love star fruit because it's just like, you know, it's just a fun shape, and it's so, like, it's been so long since I've had a nice fresh one. Like, you just can't get them here. They're always like shriveled up if you can get them. So, you know, it's just like, it's just a fancy little guy. Dragon fruit is also a fancy little guy. So that's my other choice. Arguably, maybe fancier, but I think I like the taste of star. I think I like the taste of star fruit better. Than also, like star fruit, you can just like eat without like really preparing it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What would you say yours is?
Maybe a raspberry.
I
love raspberries. Also, I just think they're like the elite version of like the elite berry for me. Yeah.
The elite berry. That's a bold statement.
Yeah. Well, because like I feel like they're reliably good. You know.
They are not.
Yeah, that's true.
Raspberries are not reliable.
We've split the room.
More than like strawberries and blueberries.
Strawberries are far more consistent than
yes,
raspberry.
I think so.
Oh, but strawberries are consistently mid.
No,
yeah. No.
Well, it's like if you shop at like Lidl or somewhere, you're gonna get mid strawberries. So
I don't know. I feel like any raspberries that I buy from like the supermarket are always mid. Like I trust raspberries that I've picked off the bush with my own hands and shoved directly into my mouth. Not bought ones.
I didn't realize this would be so divisive. I'm sorry.
I'm on your side.
And now the fact that I've said you're so a raspberry and then slated raspberry doesn't reflect we are very good friends. I don't even know if that's the proper name. My mum always calls it passion fruit. I don't know if it is star fruit. Is star fruit like orange and it's got like the little patterns?
No. Starfruit literally it's like yellow and it's shaped like a star.
Right, okay, that's
like
not
it's
mine.
Like an elongated star, sort like a star from the front and then it's like kind of
that's
so fun.
Have you guys ever seen this?
I've never had it, but I think I thought it was what I'm thinking.
You don't really get it here. Like passion fruit's just like something completely different. Starfruit is actually
passion fruit is mine, I think.
Like the little small purple fruit with the yellow inside.
It's like an orange yellow inside and you slice it and it comes with little. Oh my god, that's sick.
So cool.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Whoa.
Oh, for our listeners at home, we've just googled what star fruit is.
But yeah.
Yeah,
it's really yummy.
Should we get on with it? Okay, do we want to ask about the media question?
Let's do that before we play some music.
So, and then we'll do a fun little intro segment, then we'll play some songs and start thinking about the deep questions I'm going to ask you. So what would you say is your favourite queer representation in media? Marcelina Bubblegum?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, man. Oh, I didn't think about this one.
Wait, go first.
Yeah, go on.
I have so much. So I'd say my favourite bit of queer representation in media is Cheryl from Watermelon Woman. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
Watermelon Woman is a great film.
I've never seen it.
It's like,
so good.
It follows this black lesbian filmmaker and she's like looking through the archives and she like finds this film of like set in like the plantation era in America, and there's this like black actress who she falls in love with, and she flips over the film card and the name is just the Watermelon Woman. So she goes on this like adventure to figure out who the Watermelon Woman is, and then you see like her friendships and like her romances. Yeah, she's just so funny, and she like looks like me and reminds me of me in so many ways. So I was like, that was the first time I saw like black studs like represented in media, and I was like, yo, I'm looking at a mirror of myself. But yeah, no.
It's also an interesting one because it was like made from like the 80s, right? And it's like kind of just like lost to time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool. It's getting like a resurgence.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Any thoughts?
My girlfriend has just texted me a suggestion. she has suggested a League of Their Own, which is very,
very nice.
And has, like, I know they say that, like, all of the articles that refer to this character, they all refer to him as a trans man, but, like, when I saw him, I was like, oh, it's a he-him butch. have you guys watched the TV show?
I've seen, like, the odd episode. Like, okay. I know people that watch it, and I see it.
Basically, one of the main characters has, like, a butch uncle, and who has, like, this gorgeous, like, femme wife.
Oh my god, yeah.
And I was like, oh my god. So that's that is really good. And it's just, like, a really nice, like more diverse than most TV shows, like, cast of queer people, like, in the 40s. I was also gonna, the other current one that I was thinking about, Sophie, stop listening for the next 10 seconds, because we're currently watching Legend of Korra.
Oh my god!
So that was, like, Legend of Korra was one of the ones where I was, like, I was kind of, like, watching it when I was kind of becoming gay, and I was like, oh, it's a crack ship of these two characters. And also, like, Korra is just, like, you know, kind of, like, a butch, you know, tomboyish, like, bemuscled person. So I do like Korra, and
I love that you brought up the gay uncle from A League of Their Own, because oh my god, the scene where they make a suit,
oh my god,
so wholesome. It was like a healing moment, I think.
Guys, I'm really emotional. Should we place the music so I can go have a cry? And then we'll carry on.
Butch representation.
Yeah.
So we've got Cake by Remy Wolf and Solid by Muna.
Thank you. She is not a screen on which you project. She is not a scene on your movie set. She is not a mirror in which you reflect. Yeah, she is of material substance. She's so
Fresh Air, you're still with Nil, but new edition.
Not that new.
Not
I was here
new.
This morning.
Yeah, but new to the show right now.
Charlotte's back. I'm new to the show.
Charlotte's never done radio before. And we are still with Saffron Cherry. And we've had all the fun, and now we're going to have some deep conversations.
Let's go.
Yeah. It's actually just still normal conversations, guys. Don't worry. So... could you be so kind as to give our listeners at home a rundown of Saffron Cherry, what it is you do, why you do it, how you do it, when you do it, what's the other one? Where you do it.
Oh,
why?
I think we said why. Why was number one?
How? Oh, yeah. Well, so Saffron Cherry was founded actually by Sarah.
We love Sarah.
Yes, who unfortunately has left us to go back to Canada.
You're literally going to Canada next year.
with us in spirit, but not in person, sadly, anymore. So she started it basically as a response to the Edinburgh queer scene being really overwhelmingly white and, like, you know, her experiences of, like, kind of racism in the queer community. So she kind of started as like a monthly like meetup group, you know, her and the steering committee had kind of like an idea to have cabarets like every other month and then the community events every other month. So she brought me on to host, and now I just run the cabarets now. So the cabarets we have every other month, usually at Paradise Palms. We were at WeRed this last week, actually, because of just some issues. But we will be back at Paradise Palms for our next one, which is April 25th. And nice. It is our 1 year anniversary of the cabaret.
Congratulations!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be really fun. And it's going to be the 1 year anniversary of Saffron Cherry in March.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to hand it over to you because you and Vadim are in charge of the
community events.
Yeah, because that was Sarah doing it before and now it's you guys.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, like Butch said, we've got basically two arms of Saffron Cherry. So we've got the cabarets, and then the months where the cabarets aren't running, we host community events.
Cool.
So this is me and Fatima, who's not here, but We run community events, like get-togethers with the queer POC community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's strictly exclusive to the queer POC community, mm-hmm. the community events. The cabarets, anyone can come
yes,
to them.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. the cabarets, everyone is welcome.
Yeah.
God knows we need the money to
yeah.
pay
them. Reparations.
Yeah, like that's another thing with the cabarets is that we're trying to, like, we got some funding from Edinburgh Council, and we're trying to sort of, like, give well-paid opportunities to you know, performers of queer performers of color, because, like, you know, they don't get employed as much, maybe.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Art in general as well, it's difficult a lot of the time to make a living wage, because it's less traditional than, say, your, like, office job or your
mm-hmm. yeah.
retail hospitality, these
yeah.
sort of places.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
and, like, you
that's
know,
great that you
yeah.
have that focus.
Yeah, and especially, you know, like, I'm coming at from, like, at it from the drag side of things. Like, sometimes, like, you know, you get shows that, like, really don't pay very much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, it kind of restricts who can do it to people who have other sources of income.
Yeah.
And can afford to take a low-paying gig. So we're trying to sort of keep it.
That's incredible.
Well,
yeah. Like, a platform to queer creators in that way as well. It's
mm-hmm.
just so... I find also, like, in Edinburgh, like, oh, that's another question. Sorry, we'll just segue straight into it.
So natural.
Yeah, sorry, thanks. Yeah, it's kind of seamless. how do you find the Edinburgh queer scene? How do you think it's changed since Saffron Cherry started? Do you think it's pretty similar? Would you say you're the most, like, prominent queer POC place going, or...?
Well, So there's also another queer POC cabaret called Kiwa
mm-hmm.
That run in Glasgow. They've started doing events in Edinburgh now as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been running since, I think they started, like, maybe half a year-ish before we did, or, like,
mm-hmm.
maybe, yeah, ish. So, but yeah, you know, they weren't running stuff in Edinburgh. So yeah, we thought that would be nice to have something here as well. Because
yeah.
it's, like, otherwise
mm-hmm.
you know, it's
yeah.
still... It's in all of Scotland, there's only
yeah.
us two.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been... I think things are only just really starting to start going again. That's not a sentence. Things have only just started to get going, like, after the pandemic,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
tough. Like, before the pandemic, I remember there was, like, lots of stuff, but even still, like, not all that much, like, queer POC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was, like, Mojama, like, right before the pandemic, and they've now moved to Glasgow. yeah, I don't know. I think, like, the queer scene here is still, like really quite white, and there's not a
mm-hmm.
lot of,
yeah.
like, queer POC stuff going
yeah.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the ballroom stuff is... I don't know how integrated it is with, like, the queer scene at large, but maybe that's
yeah.
just because, like, I hang out with drag people. But, but yeah, Kiki's been
yeah.
been doing a lot of work to try
mm-hmm.
and bring that in, and I think the sort of the ballroom scene is, like, a really nice queer POC space as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And have you found it since you've been running community spaces rather than the cabaret? Do you think there's, when you speak to people there, like, the queer POC that are attending, do you find that there's, like, frustration at the scene in general? Because I know I've got some.
I feel like that's a really common experience of, like,
mm-hmm.
just being frustrated at, like, the queer scenes we have here in Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
They are predominantly white.
Yeah.
You are gonna face racism.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. CC's is nice for some people.
Oh,
but
God.
Even white queers have trouble there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nice that we can, like, create spaces, like, club spaces,
mm-hmm.
Nightlife spaces, but also a space in the daytime
yeah.
where people
yeah.
feel safe. That's something that, like, I've been quite conscious of with the community events, to, like, have, like, nightlife spaces, but also, like, spaces that are, like,
mm-hmm.
more chill. Yeah, so we had, like, a speed friending event.
Aww,
wait, in January? Was
yeah.
that January? Yeah.
yeah. Still last month.
Oh, yeah, true, that's true. So, yeah, just, like, having more relaxed spaces where you can get to
yeah.
know each other.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just, like, building community that way.
Oh,
which is really
that's
nice.
That's,
yeah.
So,
oh, sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Do you wanna...
Yeah, sort of, why do you think it's important to have those daytime spaces? What do you think distinguishes them from nightlife, would you say?
Mm. That's a good question. I think it's just, like, I don't know. Some people just don't like nightlife.
I
yeah,
think, yeah.
Really.
I think nightlife is going to be inaccessible, like, by nature to, you know, a decent section of people. Like, you know, right now, like, say with the cabaret, like, we can only really run that on weekdays, which kind of makes it hard for people who
yeah.
like work in the
mm-hmm.
day to come. So it's like, you know, a lot of students come. which is nice. But like then, you know, we don't have quite a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And like, you know, just like nightlife spaces aren't really accessible to everyone. You know, people who are sober, people like who,
yeah,
you know,
even might, like, I don't know if this is quite your point, but like under 18s as well. I know, for example, like Cafe Queer does a lot of stuff with just being accessible to people who aren't like of age to drink yet, but are still figuring out their identity and that sort of side of it.
Yeah, or even like, you know, like the nightlife space is also like, you know, there's trouble with kind of like being okay for like immunocompromised people or people who work with immunocompromised people. So like we're trying to work on keeping the stuff at least, because we don't have as much flexibility with the cabaret, but I think with the community stuff we do a little bit more.
Definitely. And also like we were talking about reaching older demographics as well, because we found that in a lot of our events we love having students there. I'm a student. but they're queer POC of all ages, and I feel like they also deserve to be in inclusive spaces.
Also like when you have a space that's just students, then like, you know, older people won't feel like that's really for them either, because
unintentionally like building a bit of an echo chamber, where it is just like the students, the same people, the same sort of demographic in some ways.
Another thing with like students is like, you know, students move on.
We were talking about that earlier actually with Kamal. We were sort of saying like, how, I guess it's a question for you guys as well, how do you think we make lasting impact, especially in places like student communities where there's a turnaround of people every few years?
Yeah, that's a really hard question.
I think it's just sort of like there's a, to queer spaces, there's a sort of a specificity to it, like in that, you know, the people that are going off looking for us, like, it's not that specific in the sense that, like, we're all just looking for acceptance, and the minute you go that, you've got it. But it's the idea that, like, to achieve that sort of, like, constancy and, like, you know, the idea that, like, in 5 years the students will still go, Saffron Cherry are doing a cabaret, do you want to go? Like, that idea is so lovely, but, like, it's difficult to maintain, like, with, like, you know, the logistics of it. Students are, you know, kind of unreliable. Sorry to drive myself. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You
can
say that.
Can we say that on the student radio? But like, yeah, because if you think about like the radio, that's an example in a way, because that's so, scoop here, guys. The radio is kind of touch and go at times because it depends entirely on the students that do it. It's great to have those spaces that are entirely composed of a group of people finding themselves, creating that space, you know, enjoying it. But then, you know, maintaining it is like, is when it starts to become like a push and pull almost. Like, like we were talking earlier about how historically things go in ebbs and flows for the LGBTQ plus community. Like, you know, our fight for rights, everyone was talking about how the King James Bible, he very openly had a male favourite, and then they wrote the Bible that was like, Robbie was at home, I did the middle finger.
Do we have a sound effect for middle finger?
The idea is that kind of applies still in terms of those spaces. Like, you know, it's push and pull. It's like, we want people to join the radio. How do we get them to do that? How do we get to stay in the radio? How do we get the radio to survive? It's this idea of survival, which I think is quite innate to loads of those communities. And now that we've like carved that space, like, I've no doubt you're going to maintain it. But like, what would you like your legacy to be in that sort of idea?
I mean, I would just quite like for us to keep going for as long as we can, you know, for us to, like, you know, I'm not a student anymore, so I'm gonna be here for, you know, the foreseeable future, so like just being able to get like enough funding for everything, so just like we have a nice space that people know about and people come to, and
I think maybe it's just the specific history of Saffron Cherry, but because like we've had this like Passover, I think that gives us some hope that it can continue, because obviously Sarah passed over to us and it continued in this way, so I'm quite hopeful.
You've got that sort of I don't know if robustness is the word, but for the future, you know that like the same legacy and idea and like values on Sapphire and Cherry can still carry on even without the people behind it. I think that's great.
Because people are passionate about
space.
Yeah, like we've got like some really nice feedback from people that like thought that had been going for much longer than it had been. So that's encouraging. And I think like as long as there's like at least one person like that's staying, like or like that, you know, that was involved, then it's like gonna be easier to continue. Like I was, I don't know, like how you're saying about like, you know, maintaining things. Like I, you know, I went to Edinburgh Uni an unknown amount of years ago now. But I was like the BME officer for like then Blogs, now Pride Sock. But like I and that was like where I knew all my friends from.
Yeah.
And like it was pretty big. But like now I was trying to go through like all the societies to contact them to tell them to come to our cabaret. And I saw that Pride Sock just has no committee members. Like there, like nobody was there to be able to take it over. So
yeah,
it's like I guess the water. So yeah, it's just like I think as long as there's somebody like left.
I think
I guess in terms of legacy, you do have like quite a, you have the way you want to run things now is like, I think that's a great way to like push it forward, because that's like your vision you have, like wanting to make it accessible to all sorts of people, having a cabaret but also community events. I think that's really important to have that sort of range in like an organization, because I think it's so important to like facilitate as many different types of interaction as you can, especially with something that's, you know, driven by inclusion and acceptance, to try and have that be like available to people in as many different forms as, I think in itself, just a really good legacy to avert. Even if you like leave today and you don't do anything else, you've still done really great work by facilitating that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so grateful. That's really sweet.
I was just gonna say that like I'd also maybe hope to like get more people involved in like organizing, because like, you know, we don't really have a sort of formal thing of like how to like bring on people to organize. So
I think
if people want to get involved, like just they can.
Saying this again, sort of before, but like so many of the events in Edinburgh, specifically like queer events, do seem to be very like individualized. It seems to be like maybe as little as one or two people who have sort of an idea and make it come to life. And I think that in some ways is so, so cool and so interesting and like great on the people that are doing it, including you guys. But at the same time, it is, I don't know where I'm going with this.
I can kind of pick up maybe collaboration. Yeah. That could be something that like we could use to bring the different queer groups in Edinburgh together.
Yeah.
We were actually talking about something. Maybe this is in the workforce.
But I do think that like it would be nice to like for like the other like you know POC or queer like queer POC groups to kind of do more collaborating, because like you know we're all really, like most of us are just like friends.
So. Yeah.
I don't see like, you know, why kind of keep things like super separate, like with stuff. Like we can all help each other.
Yeah.
I think it's
socialism.
I think it's this idea of like finding your identity, being queer, being an individual in that sense, in that regard, and having these events that you go to that are like tailor made for you. But I think also there's an idea of like the whole point of being, not the whole point of being queer, what's the point of being queer if you can't like engage in a community with it? Because then like if we were just people on our own and we didn't see anyone else ever, we wouldn't think to create labels or to create communities or create spaces. It's always all about everyone else, like everyone else that you know. And I think it's so important to try and like keep that going and build that relationship, which is why, you know, we've done this month, because I think it's important to start giving platform to places like that, to organizations like that. And I'm not really that like active in spaces. I don't really do that much, to be honest. I'm kind of lazy, but I've learned a lot today. You know, and I just think that's important. So I think should we play some music and then we'll talk a bit more about LGBTQ History Month.
Got me like a hypnotist.
Relax, baby.
Got
relax.
Me like a hypnotist.
It's the one and only beloved
like
son.
Like a hypnotist.
Beloved.
I think they were a dancer. I saw it in their hips. They sent the call, I answered. They got me like a hypnotist.
Ladies and gentlemen, please make eye contact with somebody, anybody tonight.
Think they were a dancer. I think they were a dancer. They sent the call, I answered.
I think they were a singer. I saw it in the lips. They whispered all the answers. I'm wrapped around your fingertips. I think they were cancer. You might just take a trip.
Oh,
You're right.
Hello and welcome back to Fresh Air. We've not changed since you've got here.
Except I am now one Oreo heavier. Great time. Actually, I'm still chewing.
I love that you gave us the Oreos like 30 seconds before.
Yeah. We will be good hosts.
That was not good timing. Sabotage. On my part.
Good hospitality.
We try.
Or something along those lines.
Guys! Why does LGBTQ plus history matter to you?
I guess why does it matter to you? Why do we think it's important in general?
I have a general answer to this. I think it's because like we don't have the sort of generational transfer of like knowledge and history like other marginalized groups have. Like, you know, if you're marginalized by your race, then you still have like your family, but like queer people were like disconnected. Unless you have queer parents, which like good for you.
I guess
a lot of the time not the case.
You don't have that automatically. So like, you know, it can feel really isolating for, you know, to not know about people that were like you that came before. And it's like it's easier now to find out, but like, you know, it's still a bit harder to find out about all that stuff. So, go on.
retweet what you said. LGBTQ history. I think, I don't know, it's just important to know that queer people have been around since all time. I think that's mainly what this month is for, just education.
I would just also say, like, you know, then like people who don't get access to that history or like don't bother to find that history, like then they're like, oh, this is the first time, like we're doing something completely new and like nobody's ever felt like this before, and it's just like,
yeah,
then you act in a different way.
Yeah, I think that's really important, because it's like, I think it's one thing to find out you're queer, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
And then you find out that there's a whole community of people that accept you, and you go, oh, phew. And then you like just kind of look back a bit, and then there's been communities like that throughout all of time, whether or not they've known it. Like, there's been people throughout time that have been that way, whether or not there was always communities where, like, you know, they weren't like in the 1600s, but you know, they were always there, and that's what matters more, I think. And like this idea of, because there's this queer museum in London, I think, I can't remember what it's called, like the London British National Gay Museum or something like that. But I had this feeling when I went there, because like I like history and I like being queer. I haven't even thought of the two together. And then I went and I was like, I got really emotional, because it's a really small museum and you just kind of walk through. And it, like, there's, it's so emotional. It's got letters, it's got, like, people, like, petitioning against Section 28. It's got the door from Oscar Wilde's, like, cell door in prison. Oh. It's got, like, a letter Elton John wrote to his child self. It's got, like clothes throughout history. It's, like, queer clothes. And it's just, it's the most, like, uplifting experience ever. And it's so history-based. It's all about knowing that, you know, one, it's like names you know, Oscar Wilde, Elton John, but it's also like the idea of like there was like grassroots movements that got lost time, like they still existed and they were communities then, and they like still are now, even though they're not around anymore, you know. And I think it was just really emotional. So I'd recommend that, guys.
So much of queer history as well has been lost to time in some way, whether that's due to like social stigma at the time where people weren't allowed to be openly gay, and so therefore weren't
censored.
And even just things like the AIDS crisis, where there are so many people that died from that that are now would be alive today, but we don't have them to like ask about their experiences or anything of that sort. So I don't know, I feel like it is really important just in terms of like bringing that up, like we have always been here, it was just a lot less visible in the past, if that makes sense.
I was gonna say it's a bit similar to the, like the queer representation in media as well. I think there's this like quote from, I'm not sure if it's Juno Diaz or something, it's like something akin to like, you know, you turn into a monster if you can't see yourself in the mirror. Like, you know, like it's also seeing yourself in the past, and that's why it is about queer representation. Like media is important, because like, you know, when you're alone then you just like That was my bad.
I think it, like, what you were saying about queer media, when you brought up A League of Their Own, I just thought of that, because obviously it's set in the past, mm-hmm. but it's, like, showing queerness in, like, a setting that you wouldn't have pictured queerness.
Yeah.
Like, these are just, like, 1940s housewives mm-hmm. who, like, start doing baseball, but actually it's very queer.
That's quite queer. Baseball's just inherently queer.
Exactly. Yeah. But you wouldn't have thought to, like, look in specific places. But yeah, queerness just has been there.
Yeah. And it's so nice, like, even some of the, like, the ladies that were, like, in the actual historical league, like, one of them came out as a lesbian, like, age 96 or something.
Oh. God.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's
I love old gays.
So true.
Do you guys have, I know, I'm going to ask the historical one. So if you guys could bring back any queer figure from history, either to look at the state of the world now, or to go out with, or to just, like, have a great time with, me personally, I'm taking Sappho to Hythe.
Sappho would love tracks.
Alright,
you Sappho, you would have loved that.
I'm seeing you right now. What are you going to do tonight? But Sappho can never try that.
Oh my god, imagine Sappho hearing Sophie and, like, how
might exploding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you still going to do the queer role models one?
Yes.
I think, okay.
It can be a bit of both.
Because I have a similar answer. Were you going to go first?
Okay, so I was thinking Audre Lorde.
Ooh.
Amazing black lesbian poet. I just need her to give me all her knowledge. But also, I think she was, there was like a queer community around the time that she was around, of like just black queer writers.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like Audre Lorde, you've got June Jordan. I don't know if they were in the same era, but like Alice Walker as well. And Tracy Chapman. Did you know Alice Walker and Tracy Chapman went out?
Oh no!
My god, crazy.
No,
like,
way!
I want to like have a reunion of them and just like sit in the middle.
Like play fast car. Like,
yeah, but yeah, I'd like to like recreate that little queer literary community.
Yeah,
that's so sick.
Well, I have two people that I thought of. One is also the role model one is Stormy DeLapio. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know? You should
okay.
find out about them. They were a drag king, like a black mixed race drag king in like the, I mean, I think they died in like the 90s possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But just like, yeah, they're like an MC, and they used to, like, when they were older, they used to like patrol, like, you know, around like the New York gay areas with, I mean, like, I'm not in favor of guns, but like, you know, with a gun to like protect people at like age, I don't know, in their 60s or something like that. Really, really cool person. Highly recommend looking them up. Yeah. Also, another one that I thought of was Sister Rosetta Tharpe. Who like invented rock and roll basically, and was a known queer. Also had like, you know, from the name you can tell there's some like religious stuff going on there. So I think I'd be interested to chat to her about like how she sort of like figured that out.
Therapy session.
Yeah, because like a lot of her music was like, you know, kind of church music, but also she's a queer woman, so
that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm guessing your queer role models would be the queer literary scene.
Yeah. I would say so. Yeah.
I'm trying to think what mine would be in. Sorry, it's not my interview. I'm just you know, just thinking.
Actually, I would like to. Yeah, who would your queer role models be?
Not to sound like a total computer science technique, but I'm like, I study cognitive science. I'm like an informatics student. I love Alan Turing with my whole heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he did, he's known for like cracking the Enigma code in the war effort, but he after that did so much to further like computer science. Like if it wasn't for him, I don't know what my degree is anyway, but like I wouldn't know what it was because it didn't exist if he wasn't there. And the fact as well that he, after that, I think today is the anniversary of the start of his Gross Indecency trial as well. So I was like Wikipediaing this because we were talking about this yesterday, and I was like, that's such a coincidence. But he was found guilty of gross indecency for being with a man, was forced to undergo chemical castration, and then eventually died, possibly by poisoning, we don't know if that was him or himself, but like it took decades and decades for him to be like pardoned by the government, and I feel like only within the past sort of 10 years or so he started being recognised as such an influential figure.
That's why the apple on the like on Max is like a bit an apple.
Yeah.
It's like an
apple. Cool. Yeah. You know that.
Fun fact. It's not very fun actually.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
I guess mine would be either Sappho, obviously. I think there's the literature student in me is going crazy right now. Or like, okay, hear me out. Alright.
Oh wow.
I don't think I genuinely believe with every fibre in my being, if I had existed like 5 years before William Shakespeare, I would have written everything he had already written and I would be the famous one.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think because he's such a big name and you grow about him, learn about him growing up, and then when the minute I started doing like exploration into like queer identity and stuff like that, and who, like famous queers and how like, you know, queer history, I was like, the first name that popped up was William Shakespeare, and I remember going, whoa, what? And I was like, I had no idea what I was going to do. So yeah, I think probably William Shakespeare, but only so I could be like, you ain't even all that. Chill a bit, you know.
School him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teach him some. Yeah. Teach him humility.
Like, Yieldy rap battle, and I am the pentameter. No, this is Shakespeare.
Oh, can I say something? I'd win. He wouldn't even know what a rap battle was. He's already losing. So I think probably to round off, tell us about any events you have coming up. And
Where can we find you? Have you got planned for the future?
Well, on Instagram, you can find us at Saffron.Cherry.
Yeah. Our most upcoming event is going to be a community event to celebrate our 1 year anniversary of Saffron Cherry.
Party blur, party blur.
Yay.
Hold on. There we go.
Yeah, about right.
So it's going to be a potluck. We haven't figured out all the details yet, but expect that in March.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be exclusive to the QTPOC community. Mm-hmm. And yeah, also to plug Kiwa, who...
Oh, yes, I can do that.
Yeah, you can do that.
I'm going to go.
I'm going to go too, actually.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So Kiwa and the House Ball Scotland, they're running two balls. There's going to be one run by Saigon Revlon on Friday in Glasgow. A transmission is going to be Matrix themed. I will be walking. Will you be going? I've been doing. Huh?
I don't think I'm going to the Glasgow.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, then the next day on Saturday, there's going to be Kiwa's one at We Red. So that's going to be really cool. I think if you want to go get tickets now, because like it's going to sell out.
Yeah.
So you may see me there, you may see Tammy there. So that's a free plug for Kiwa. And then our next cabaret is going to be the April 25th at Paradise Palms.
Excited!
So yeah, look out for that.
Yeah. Dates in your diaries, guys.
Just block out the whole of March for our
party. Yeah. Every single day of March.
It was my mum's birthday, but I'll just wait.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming in. This is amazing. Very glad to have met you both.
Yeah,
and we're gonna finish out with a couple of songs you guys have chosen. We've got Muna, What I Want, Holy Till You Let Me Go. And Do You Think We'll Last Forever? Excellent selection.
Wow.
Crazy little combo. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
This was really fun.
Yeah.
No, it was great.
Never been interviewed
you,
like this.
When I go out again, I'm gonna drink a lot. I'm gonna take a shot. Cause that's just what I want. I'm gonna ask for one, cause that's just what I want. I want. I spent way too many years not